Ready to get started? We're starting then with item E on our agenda. This is an action item, and I'll turn it over to Judge Herman and have the speakers introduce yourselves too, please, for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, and we'll just get right started and let the speakers introduce themselves and go forward with the three alternatives that we're going to be looking at as action items today.
So, Kurt Sutherland, Chief Deputy Interim.
Mark Dustman, Director of Information Services and Acting Director of the CCMS PMO.
Go ahead, Jessica. Jessica Craven, CCMS PMO.
Les Butler, CCMS PMO.
Renee Hatcher, I'm the Senior Manager over CCMS Deployment, as well as data integration, as well as all e-business and justice partner outreach.
And again, thanks for all of the effort that's been put into this report and these alternatives in a very truncated time period.
So I'm gonna kick off this session this afternoon, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the background of the CCMS financials. I'm going to go through the background and kind of how we've changed how we report financials. I'll step through our reporting model so everybody understands what components go into our reporting model, and then I'll talk about CCMS cost. So let's slide two. So originally, before 2007 and 2008, we reported where we only broke down the cost for CCMS in terms of the development cost, infrastructure cost, and staffing cost. And from 2008-2009 forward, we changed that reporting model to give more transparency, and there had been a lot of questions around what did V2 cost, what did V3 cost, and what did V4 cost. So we started reporting those. We broke it out so we could report for those so everybody could determine exactly how much and see how much those products actually cost. Along with that, we report in alignment with the Department of Finance how they report projects. So there's project cost and ongoing cost. And then in 2010-11, we also added the cost to local courts for their staff to support CCMS. So this is a high-level overview of what goes into each component. There's a project cost, which are one-time. There's ongoing costs, which are just that, the recurring costs and the costs that we have ongoing with the project. And then there's the interim CCMS cost. And I'll go through each of these in more detail. So let's go to slide five. So slide five focuses on project costs. So these are our one-time cost. And they include the cost of development, the cost of our staff, our contractors, our hosting, all of those costs that are associated with those one-time project costs. So here in this, when you see our numbers and you see project costs, we include the V3 development, we include V3 deployment, we include V4 development, we include V4 deployment, and then we have the DMS, the document management system development costs that are also included. Ongoing costs are, these are the easiest ones to talk about. They're like our maintenance and support cost for, and here we include V4 maintenance and support and the document management service maintenance and support cost. So they're, as you would expect, they're quite small right now. And then the last category of cost are the interim CCMS cost. So these include the V2 development, V2 deployment, V2 maintenance and support. And then they include the V3 maintenance and support cost. So those three categories make up all of the costs related to CCMS that we report. So let's talk a little bit about our costs to date. So the project cost, and we've heard, and this is through June 2011. So the project cost, which was mentioned earlier, has been $333.3 million. So that's the, and you can see the breakdown. So it's V3 development employment, V4 development, V4 deployment, and then DMS development. The ongoing cost, $2.5 million. So again, that's just the V4 maintenance and support cost. And then the interim CCMS cost for V2, development, deployment, maintenance and support, and V3 maintenance and support are $185.7 million. So total cost up through June of 2011 were $521.5 million. So the current fiscal year. So for fiscal year 2011-2012, CCMS had a budget of $34.9 million. So that was broken into two components. One was for interim CCMS, the support for V2 and V3 that we provide in-house, and the hosting charges, the consultants, all of those staff, all of those costs that go along with that. That was $20.3 million. And then there was a $14.6 million that was provided for CCMS. So there were the project costs associated with that, which were $5.7 million, and that was the remainder of the development and any hosting charges that were there, and that was any cost spent for deployment. And then after we finished testing in August on CCMS V4, all those costs moved over to ongoing cost. So it's $8.9 million for that. And then just there was a question I heard earlier about what were the costs to, or just V4, just V4, not all the other costs associated with that, for the last three fiscal years. And you can see that number. It's about $118 million over the last 3 years. So that kind of sets the background, the stage for what the costs up to now are for CCMS. Are there any questions that I can answer around that? Thank you.
I need to be here because it'll be easier for me to present. Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chief, as well as the members of the council. I appreciate the opportunity to try and present to you what I understand, of course, is to be in an untenable position. I'm going to report on three options today. These are the options that I realize that you will be trying to make a decision on. So I'm going to, one, try to make sure I slow down when I talk. And secondly, I really do hope that as we go through this, you will make certain that if you have a question right then, to please interrupt and ask me that question. Secondly, I think that bits and pieces of this story, which are the three options, have been told today in different forms, and I hope that I can bring it together in context for what these three options are. So some of this you will have heard, but I'm hoping that within the options, it will really make sense. So to get to before, prior to getting to these options, the vision and goal around CCMS, of course, was to have this enterprise case management system. It was something that was envisioned for all the superior courts. It was, in fact, to address failing disparate systems. We had over 70 systems. It is also, of course, consistent with the direction that I believe Justice Breneers talked about from the governor, as well as the strategy by the judicial branch. The benefits around having an enterprise CCMS for all courts, of course, is that judges and clerks learn to use one system. One of the things that Susan Matherly from the SLO court indicated to me was she could not wait to get to CCMS simply because if she had to get resources from Santa Barbara, who could be on it as well, they would be able to be transparent. This one system idea was very helpful for the trial courts in our thinking and planning. It also provides consistent service, you might even say standard services, for the public, for the attorneys, and, of course, state and local justice partners. The idea around this benefit, of course, focuses primarily on the portal and what information can be available to all of those parties, and they are, of course, the stakeholders to the entire judicial system. Other benefits include the cost effectiveness as well as the consistency of when we have legislation. When that legislation comes through, what happens right now is that every court or every group of courts that are on a case management system, they're actually working independently to make certain that those laws are implemented. A lot of times it's around fees and fines, and there is a cost to do that. Often they're working with their county or they are working with their legacy system vendor or their vendor of any kind. And they have to, in fact, pay for that, and we do it differently. There are also delays that happen when we do those laws, simply because of the resources available to the vendors. So often this idea of having the laws put in one time and have it move forward. Of course, the improved public safety has to be one of the most important pieces of where we are with CCMS. The fact that we can actually share data through CCPOR, which is the California Courts Protective Order Registry, with the DMV, with DOJ, as well as the Department of Social Services and all of our local partners. I know that judges have indicated the ability to be able to see something that has happened in another court in another county often may make decisions that they cannot make at this time. The data available for those judicial decisions, those are in fact obviously very important, and what one judge can see across those courts may actually affect someone's life. It can be affecting a protective order or some other crime that maybe was committed and will help make a decision for that judge. As well as the accurate reporting of our statewide information, the GPSIS program has been in place for a tremendous amount of years. We have some courts that have an electronic system that will report to the AOC. We have some courts who mark tallies down on a piece of paper, and then they have to go through the system to enter that manually to get it in. There is inconsistencies in the data that's reported, and the idea behind the statewide data reporting warehouse, which is part of CCMS, actually gives us those accurate statewide reports. As mentioned before, the program status, this is where we are. Of course, we went through requirements. That was actually gathering over 4,000 requirements from different members of different courts, judicial officers, justice partners. And of those 4,000 requirements, we completed those, and then we went into design. Of course, you've heard about Deloitte. They designed this product, and we are now, in fact, complete with both the design and then the development. That development effort was, in fact, millions of lines of code, and I wish that I could compare that to something for you that would be realistic to understand the amount of lines of code there. But it is done, it is complete, and as both Judge Herman and Justice Berniers often talk about, this is a product that has been accepted, it has been validated, and it has certainly gone through rigorous testing, which has been independently verified. So we're ready. Now the idea is we need to deploy, and deployment is the next logical step, of course, within the program. Our investment to date, which tags on to what my esteemed colleague Les Butler just talked about, is that there have been 4 years in developing V4, and that was through those requirements, the design, and the development. We talked about the $333 million that are, in fact, part of the project, and as Les mentioned, that is V4 development. There is money associated with some V4 deployment because we have, of course, tried to advance as much as we can, as well as the V3 development and deployment. In the investment, we've, of course, had hundreds of participants from courts representing over 28 courts. And, of course, we have had all of the justice partners from e-filing service providers to the DOJ to DMV. They've all been equal partners in helping us get there. And this investment is not necessarily something that's been quantified, but it is certainly essential for what has gone into and is now ready for deployment. Our current fiscal reality, which I think Kurt Child spoke to, is about our $653 million that we have gone into for reductions over the last 3 years. That, of course, is a branch at a branch level. And then in the branch, we have, that's including the courts, by the way, the 653. The $171 million, of course, has been redirected from CCMS to the trial courts over the last 3 years. This certainly represents money that the trial courts have needed, but it has taken away from the program as well to try and take that next step. Our program reality is actually that with the development complete, and as I mentioned, and as many have mentioned, we are ready for deployment. We have completed, of course, 3 early adopter assessments, and just recently in February, my team specifically took on the role of doing an assessment for the Fresno court. We did it at 75% less than what Deloitte did it, and we completed it. The Fresno court, it was thrilled with our deliverables and the activities that we conducted. It leads us now that we have a capable team and we know the tools that we can actually get more assessments done to determine how quickly, what kind of data conversion, and what will happen going forward, and how to better refine the dollar estimates that you've seen today. And I do recognize, and as I mentioned, I understand that these are unprecedented budget times, and so today's decision I hope that these three options, I can explain them in a way that will break all of this down and help you in a challenging decision. So here are our three options. The options are let us go forward and proceed with deployment for the San Luis Obispo Court. That also includes the deployment then of 10 other courts. This takes into consideration the Grant Thornton analysis, which says proceed with deployment, get SLO done, and then go ahead and complete 10 more courts. The second option, of course, is the pause, and we've heard a little bit of discussion about that pause. And what it means is we would actually take the activities offline for 12 months. We would cease everything for CCMS for 12 months, and then we would get started again for the deployment of SLO and then the 10 courts according to Grant Thornton. We've heard also that that pause for 12 months, what that actually equals is almost a two-year delay in the project, and that is because if in 12-13 we decide to pause, we need about 3 months to actually turn everything down, and then we'll need 10 months in 13-14 to actually reacquire the staff, the hardware, bring the product back up, and likely have to go to an RFP for another application vendor. So I think I've walked through this option. This is the option that really combines the work that the AOC has done with the recommendation from Grant Thornton. And Grant Thornton's strategy really did try to strengthen the idea here that the strategy does have to balance certainly the fact that we have economic issues for different trial courts. We have a lot of diversity as well as the different needs that happen when the constituents come to the judges. I'm going to go back. Thank you. The option for number three, the third option, I apologize. The third option, which is certainly will be quite a bit of detail, is to actually terminate CCMS, the V4 product. It is, in fact, an opportunity for us to say, if we put that aside as well, can we look at an analysis of leveraging that investment that we've put forth in putting this product together? So I will walk through all three options, not just two. There was nothing, I was not trying to do some mind trick on everybody. Let's go to the goals. The goals of option one really were to address San Luis Obispo's failing CMS. Not too long ago, maybe in the July meeting, it could have been in the October meeting, Judge Crandall from the SLO court came and he delivered a quite passionate speech about the situation in SLO. They also talked about the investment with their justice partners. And to give you a sense of this, our assessment, of course, is complete in SLO. We've already spent $1 million with this court so that they could ramp up their staff. This was an interbranch agreement. So we've already invested $1 million so that they could have, because they don't have enough resources. The justice partners have reported that they are 40% done of doing their code on their side to match CCMS. They've, of course, ceased any further work until we have a decision. That was work and effort on the justice partner's side, and that would affect the district attorney, the sheriff, and probation. In addition, the branch also provided $180,000 to the court so that they could pay their share of that justice partner county effort. And so we have invested a lot of money, but it's all about the fact that this court has two failing CMS applications. We also want to try and leverage the investment of what CCMS is and that effort to actually do SLO so that we can, in fact, do those subsequent courts. This is an important piece. Certainly, SLO, that implementation, is the foundation and where we will refine some of the things that we will learn and go forward for the remaining 10 courts. This is also this option. It does realize the return on investment that Grant Thornton spoke about. It does it the soonest. It does it at the earliest point because you get started. And if you start in 12-13, you've seen the Grant Thornton report as well as Graham's discussion about how when we can start to achieve a net positive and then when we can realize savings. So this option gets us started. But it also protects our investment. We've all spoken about that $333 million. Of course, that covers a lot of pieces, but we've invested it, so this protects that by actually utilizing it. The scope for option one that we considered was, in fact, that SLO would be the early adopter, and if we begin July 1st in 2012, we will, in fact, be done in the fiscal year 13-14. That's an important note because, of course, getting started and getting it implemented, part of our idea here is that we try to project, but obviously our goal here would also be to get it in as soon as possible. It also, the scope of option one, which I did speak about, is that phase two includes the 10-court deployment and the opportunity to retire CCMS V2 and CCMS V3. And in 12-13, we project that V2 will cost the branch $6.3 million and V3 $12.8. The sooner we can move to actually retire those products puts money back to the branch to reinvest into, hopefully, more deployments. In the 10-court phase, Grant Thornton predicted that work would begin in fiscal year 13-14 with a completion date in fiscal year 16-17. So that's what the scope actually covers. Beyond SLO, where you have the courts, and I know we've spoken about them, Grant Thornton recommended that those courts go in two waves. The first wave, of course, is San Diego, San Joaquin, Santa Cruz, Mendocino, and Ventura. And then approximately 6 to 8 months later, you would start the second wave. And that, of course, would be Alameda, Inyo, Marin, Orange, and Ventura. I think I said Ventura, the first one. It's Fresno and Santa Cruz. Our cost savings we've talked about by getting, you can see by the parens how many courts are V2. Well, the one court is V2. But then we have several courts that are V3. And retiring that at the earliest stage does allow us to realize those savings. In this example here where you see these courts, and I think that Graham talked about this briefly, but these courts are proposing or are in the need of a full case management system. Only Alameda has indicated that they would just like the criminal and traffic portion. Otherwise, we're talking about all case types there. So let's get to the cost. As Graham said from Grant Thornton, their estimation is $342.6 million over 10 years for the 11 courts. A lot of that money, of course, is heavily weighted on infrastructure. And in his slide where he showed the amount of money spent per court, in particular for the early adopter, that was in the red color, but then the blue color really emphasized there is an investment here. And Grant Thornton's estimates are heavily weighted on the infrastructure because this is an enterprise system. And when we use the term enterprise, it does mean that it is a complex, interwoven application, and it will apply to all courts as well as our partners. So when we call it an enterprise, this is, in fact, very complex. The GT study, I think that you know, it did cover a 10-year period up through 2021. What they actually said was that we would start getting payback in 17-18. That was the $33 million that Graham discussed. And so once we start to achieve that, then we are starting to get back into the balance. The negative ROI for those 10 years, of course, is still at a negative $67 million. What that means is in the 10 years, we either, according to the recommendations from Grant Thornton, we need to accelerate the deployments. Maybe we change out the courts and have larger courts. And then, of course, the break-even that they estimate is in fiscal year 22-23. That's how the cost breaks down for option one. And hopefully, I know that prior to lunch, where now all your bellies are full, you had the presentation from Grant Thornton, which was just number after number. So I'm hoping that this at least breaks it down for what the deployment means in an option one scenario.
To put this in perspective, out of the 342, in the first 4 years, $322 million is spent. So when we say heavily weighted, it's very heavily weighted in those first 4 years, and that's to build the infrastructure.
Thank you. And when we talk about infrastructure, we're talking about all of the network, hardware, the core application, the statewide data reporting warehouse, the portal, as well as data exchanges have to be, in fact, there has to be technology and an infrastructure built at the data center or at a local court. That's what we're talking about when we call it an infrastructure. Here's the impact of option one for your consideration. The pros, of course, are that we would remedy SLO's failing CMS situation, as well as then moving forward with some of the other courts that are in a failing situation or will likely be in a failing situation. We continue to be able to leverage this enterprise investment. That's that money that we spent, the $333 million that we've put into this portion of the program, and we want to be, in fact, take advantage of that effort. In addition, the other pro is, of course, we provide the integrated solution. And what that really means is that we are then interconnected with our justice partners, with our public, the self-represented litigants. And this integration, of course, offers unlimited amount of intangibles that you cannot, of course, quantify in a dollar or in a cost. But certainly I know that a lot of courts, Justice Chin spoke earlier, this the e-access, e-delivery, e-filing, e-citation, the, all of the things that come with CCMS is all part of that integrated solution. The cons, of course, there are cons that come with it, and they are, in fact, a high initial implementation cost because of getting started and starting to try and build an infrastructure for more courts. The other con, of course, is that you would be taking an impact on this fiscal year, this upcoming budget year, 12-13, as well as the following fiscal year, 13-14. And I realize that you have decisions around that fund, the funding issue. But what, according to Grant Thornton, of course, that impact in 12-13 is a $35.6 million to get moving forward, and 13-14 is at $84 million. That's the impact to your budgets. Any questions yet about option one, or shall I continue?
Please continue.
Thank you, Chief. In option two, we talk a lot about the same things from option one. It's just putting the 12-month pause in front of it and still using the early adopter idea as well as Grant Thornton's recommendation around the 10 courts that would follow. Here were the goals around putting this option together for your consideration. It would address the current fiscal reality. As we know, we are in unprecedented budget times, so this goal would be how do we, in fact, best manage to that issue. It also would allow us to protect our investment because we would be, once we come out of the pause, be able to go ahead and move forward with deployment, the deployment options. But it does preserve the application so that there is a resumption once you get to be able to, once you're able to resume the deployment activities, the CCMS has somewhat been preserved. It's been put away. It's on the shelf, but you can bring it back, and it does preserve that, the code. The scope, really, of option two, as I mentioned, is a 12-month pause. So what that means is that all of those CCMS activities need to go ahead and be paused for fiscal year 12-13. What that means in reality, and what that is, what I'm trying to explain with that one, is that we would halt all program activities related to development, deployment, court action on V4. And what we'll see in option three is that this pause mimics what is also recommended in option three. The halt also affects our permanent staff, our vendor contract with Deloitte, our vendored staff, and all of the V4 infrastructure that currently exists in CCMS. There also is, of course, the technical infrastructure at CCTC, and that will have to, they don't have an option where we can just put it to sleep. It is either, it is up and working, or it is dismantled. So that would be our option in a pause. During, once we get to fiscal 13-14, and I did mention this, there is, of course, a ramp up of the kinds of resources that it takes to bring this product back into a viable option, and you have to acquire new hardware, new software, and do all of the work to build up that we've done, but you would have to replace that work, and you'd have to do it. We've estimated that would take about 10 months because you would have to not only reacquire the talent, you'd have to train them. You would, as I mentioned, build out from the ground up the technical infrastructure, as well as we'd have to certainly reassess the court's readiness, as well as any justice partner's readiness. And, of course, we'd have to reevaluate most of the deployment plans just to make sure how can we do this efficiently.
Excuse me.
Certainly.
So just for that last point, and this is Judge O'Malley, why is it that you'd have to retrain? I mean, it's a 10-month, you know, it's a year period, and really honestly you'd have to retrain and just almost like you were starting from ground zero?
Yes.
Why?
This pause, what it does mean is that to actually get the money back in the fiscal year 12-13, then it means you bring CCMS and all of its activities down. It's the only way to actually realize any fiscal savings. It would cost about $2.7 million to just bring it down, as compared to, as you could see, Grant Thornton is estimating we need 35.6. And so you either spend the money to go forward, but if you want those savings, then the only way to pause CCMS is to lay off people, get rid of the vendor staff, to actually unplug and undo everything. It is the only way to actually get those savings.
Sure.
Okay. And the Grant Thornton, of course, plan is that then, in a pause, you would start the deployment plan, those activities. You would have to wait until 14-15, the reason being the 10-month resumption that will take most of fiscal year 13-14. If that, in fact, occurs, then with a deployment plan in 14-15, it means that the activities start to resume in 14-15, being done in 15-16, and then, of course, you would have also begun phase two to be completed in the fiscal years 16-17.
Kim Turner. Renee, quick
sure.
question. So I know we've been in code freeze now for, what, a year and a half, something like that? So in addition to having to, retrain, rehire, ramp up, build the new system, so forth, you'd also have to go through the code again, presumably all the legislative changes that have happened since code freeze started to whatever date you finally start resuming, all that has to be, programmed into the mm-hmm. system. You'd have to do a certain amount of refresh on the actual application. Isn't that correct?
It would be correct. And as we spoke earlier, there is an estimate of about $5 million right now to get that work done. We've actually had 4 years of legislative updates that have been on hold through the design. And during a pause, you would, of course, add at least one more year to that. So part of deferring and then ramping back up is to, in fact, do all of that work. That would have to occur as well so that the product would be ready. Was there another question? The cost, of course, for option two, what we can defer is that $119 million, almost $120 million, could be deferred until you are ready to actually stop those activities. That $120 million, that comes from the $35.6 million that Grant Thornton indicated for this 12-13, the budget year, and $84 million during the 13-14. So what we assumed was those costs come up, they're deferred, you don't spend them, and then you shift them. Of course, there would be some churning over those numbers, but you, in theory, what we're saying is you pick those up, you don't have to spend them, but you will spend them at another time. In addition, the IS, AOC, CCMS group, what we did was we actually did some work on this pause that to try and determine what would be the cost for pausing, what's the cost overage. Grant Thornton this was not part of their ask to do this as part of their analysis, so we are adding in our number we came up with, and I think Judge Herman talked about this. We are saying, and I think, Justice Hull, this might answer your question, it is, in fact, we estimate an additional $21 million on top, in particular, in the first two fiscal years once you get started, that's that cost of rehiring, the release issue, getting the equipment, and the time lost. The Grant Thornton costs starting in 14-15, that's when we've moved, again, that the initial 35.6 would start in 14-15. And, of course, we've mentioned, and I think we're clear, a lot of the money is spent on infrastructure to begin with. Here are the impacts of option two that we're trying to provide for your decision. First of all, the pros are we do get to defer that money in tough budget times, in particular this budget coming budget year and the next fiscal year of 13-14. But the pros remain the same. We get to, in fact, leverage our investment, and we also go ahead and are able to provide an integrated solution. There's just been a pause to it. The cons, of course, are that it does temporarily dismantle the program. That's the question. We have to dismantle that program. We would terminate staff as part of the con as well as we do believe we would have to go to RFP for a new application vendor after a pause because we'd no longer have Deloitte. We would terminate any work with Deloitte at that point. We also believe that this causes SLO to actually seek an independent solution. They've indicated that their critical case management system need is, in fact, critical, and they cannot wait during a pause. And so they likely would have to seek something alternative. As I mentioned previously, it does add a $21 million overall cost. That is our estimate. It also delays the return on investment. That gets back to when I said in option one, that's the soonest because you get started. So this will delay the return on investment because you'd have to start, you're starting at a later point in time. The other important piece around the impact of the pause is we will lose the warranty that is available to us right now through the development product and the contract that we have currently with Deloitte. So that's an important one. We did not list it, but I can't explain enough that that is a very important con to this option two. Any questions yet? Yep. Kim? Oh, I'm sorry.
Again, just a quick question. So if SLO does have to go to some other case management solution because of the delay, then presumably they're not going to be the early adopter court any longer, so you'd have to have another court ready to move into that slot, into that position.
That's presumably correct.
And so is it your assumption it would be Ventura because they were the other early adopter court, or probably you'd have to go back out and kind of refigure out which court that would be?
I think that might be a policy decision either here at the council or within maybe Jody assisting with, because, of course, we have the governance committee and we have the internal committee. I couldn't say how that would happen.
But
I don't think
anybody's... SLO would not be the... If they go to a different case management system, they're not going to, in 2 years, say, okay, now we're ready to go to CCMS.
But that is correct.
The logical, they would make a completely different decision.
Probably the logical court for debate would be Fresno because the assessment has already been completed by staff.
Justice Baxter.
Yeah, I was just curious. Could there be a hybrid where you have option two, but after the pause... A decision is then made as to whether you go or terminate.
Yeah.
Is that an option, or is that a viable option that we could consider? Do you follow what I'm asking?
I do. I'm looking to them to answer.
Justice Baxter, it's absolutely an option. We were looking at just these three to kind of put some fences around the possibilities. There are numerable shades between options one and two and between options two and three that could be considered. The downfall, I think, of postponing the decision around CCMS by implementing a pause and then making that decision about whether you're going to go forward or not is, again, mostly a political one, but also it is, as Renee talked about, how long it takes to the branch to begin to return, to get its return on investment. The other thing that happens during that 1 year pause, as we've talked about, and for cost purposes, is that the application would then need to be refreshed. And if the council decides at the end of that pause that they still need additional time, then the cost for that $21 million cost for the pause itself would increase because then the application would become further and further outdated with at least the legislative changes, not even considering the technical stack underneath of it, the components of the application that would need to be upgraded at some point. But it is an option.
Judge Herman?
I just add to that from a practical standpoint, courts are going to have to move on one way or another. And if we're talking about a one-year pause, which is really a two-year pause, we're not only talking about stasis as far as the product itself is concerned, but we're also talking about erosion of confidence in those courts that might be listed among the post-early adopters And again, the need of courts to move on, and it also would limit us in terms of leveraging the core application meaning CCMS, plus the ability to leverage the peripheral components like e-filing, document management, public and justice partner portals, et cetera. So it does create increased risk for being at the end of the day realizing our investment.
Pauses only add to its obsolescence.
Well, that's what I meant to say in one word, but I said.
Judge Rubin.
On that issue, I have a question. Can you give us, if you know, kind of what is the shelf life of an enterprise system? Clearly, it's not like Word or WordPerfect, which has a shelf life of 12 or 18 months. What is the shelf life of this in terms of obsolescence?
I think Grant Thornton included this, Judge, in their overall cost-benefit analysis last year. And do you remember how much it was, the shelf life of CCMS, what the expectation, Graham, for how long CCMS would be? So they use 10 years, but, you know, we know that applications like this, you know, have a shelf life of much longer. This is built on a modular, scalable platform where the underlying components can be upgraded at any time. So, you know, from my perspective, it probably has a much longer shelf life than 10 years.
Judge Herman?
Getting back to the Word idea, I mean, we would have release 5.0, release 6.0. I mean, Word has constantly upgraded itself with releases every couple of years, and this system is designed to be maintained on a constant basis. So we've heard some suggestion that it's obsolescent now because it started 5 years ago. In fact, it's been constantly upgraded up until today's date. But again, as Mark has suggested, if we, quote-unquote, put it on the shelf for 2 years, there's going to have to be a considerable amount of deferred maintenance done, which is the costly piece. That's what we're talking about. Time delay cost plus reviving and refreshing in the $21 million range.
So I'll talk now about option three. This is our final option to offer today that I can speak about. And the idea here is that this option does, in fact, terminate V4. That is the primary piece around this option. But, however, we've also, in this option, there is analysis about how do we leverage our investment, how do we, in fact, take the what we've done and provide some benefit to the branch on technology solutions. So option three is... I need to be clear. It is about terminating V4 and what that implies. But then you have several different activities that can also occur during option three of examining where this goes. The first one, of course, is about trying to find the vision, the roadmap, if you will, about where branch technology will go. And that analysis can be done as part of option three. I spoke as well about leveraging technology, and I think we've heard about that today as well. This is a complex system that was designed for California courts, so the idea here is how do we leverage that work, that effort, that investment, to look at what CCMS can still do for trial courts, for our partners, which includes looking at document management system design. How does that work with existing case management systems? Where is e-filing, e-portal, e-access, all of the E's? As well as perhaps looking at what is the branch, the technology structure for the branch, and how will that look going forward, and having some governance over that structure to help drive things like the vision and the roadmap. This option as well, there needs to be some alternatives looked for San Luis Obispo. The reason, again, if we terminate V4, that's not an option for that court, and they're in critical need, therefore we would, in fact, have to look for something else that would serve their purpose. The San Luis Obispo, looking for an alternative there, it will help us also look and examine what would be the other courts with critical CMS needs. How do we approach that? Is there something that can be done by leveraging this technology? And finally, in option three, it is, of course, we will conduct an analysis throughout this, but be able to then report activity back on where that takes us. So first, I want to speak about terminating V4. And I mentioned previously in option two that there was a lot of similarity in this piece. It's because option three, actually what it refers to here is when you terminate V4, it is very much like when we have to put pause on CCMS. The dollar amount remains the same. It is about $2.7 million to shut it down. So we would stop all the development efforts, including where we were headed with Release 1, which was going to address those 4 years of legislative updates and some of the enhancements that the courts discovered through testing. We would, of course, stop all of the deployment efforts, which then impacts San Luis Obispo, the court, and the efforts that have been put forth by the justice partners. We would shut down the existing environments. That means we take and go ahead and decommission everything that exists at CCTC, as well as in Spring Valley, which is the Pennsylvania location for Deloitte, where they, in fact, develop. That's the development environment. We would shut that down as well. We would discontinue all of our vendor contracts that are related to this, which includes Deloitte. We would, of course, have to discontinue maybe too strong, but the work that we've been doing with SAIC on this project, of course, we would have to eliminate that. They're still supporting all sorts of other things, but this portion goes away. As well as then, we need to archive the application components. And what we mean by that is we have to, in fact, look at making certain that we understand and have the code well documented, the artifacts, the deliverables, so that should we be able, through the analysis that I'm going to talk about later, through that analysis, we will be able to use this system. And so there is a portion to terminating V4 that also says, and how do we do that gracefully and still be able to utilize our investment? That $2.7 million that you see in the PowerPoint slide and in front of you, that is that cost also equal to the pause amount that would be needed in 12-13. And the 2.7 represents pulling down the environment as well as that work on archiving and cataloging.
Judge Kaufman?
Renee? Pull it down. Yeah. If we pause, if we take option three or option two, we have to spend $2.7 million. If we go with option one, we have to spend how much money?
35.6, according to Grant Thornton.
So there's a $33 million, roughly, savings
mm-hmm.
by doing option two or option three?
Correct.
Plus the $16 million that we're to get from the Deloitte, correct?
If that's the council's decision and we are able to use that.
So there's like a $50 million, I'm fudging the numbers a little bit, but there's a $50 million swing there?
No, the 16 would actually, if I follow where you're going, that the difference between the Grant Thornton 35.6 and we still have to spend 2.7, so you're around 33. If you have the $16 million, then you're spending $17 million. It would be, I mean, again, with your theory and how the council would vote, but then that would mean it's $17
million. Judge, it's clear. We do talk about, you know, what would be available for other judicial council priorities in option three. So we take a look at what the earmarked budget for CCMS was next year, and we talk about eliminating V4, the cost associated with doing that, the 2.7, plus we'll get to the analysis piece of this, the $16 million, and what would be available, subtracting that out of what was earmarked for CCMS originally. We'll talk about that shortly.
What we can, if we move forward with option three and terminate V4, we project within the AOC that the cost avoidance by shutting it down in 11, in this current fiscal year, is close to $1 million that we can avoid having to continue to pay. And of course, in 12-13, we estimate close to $12 million in cost avoidance that would not need to be paid if V4 is terminated. Here's the vision and the roadmap. This is the idea, again, after in terms of terminating V4, but looking at an analysis for how to actually put the branch technology vision and roadmap forward. First of all, I believe there is already a collaborative effort of the IT working group, and I believe that is a committee out of the operations CCMS governance committee. I think that's right. And that working group It consists of trial court members and I believe some of the other community stakeholders to actually help drive that roadmap of where the technology should go. New technology strategies, where is in fact the future of our technology going? I know briefly Justice Chin talked about that future, but that's part of this developing and analyzing where is that roadmap. It's also about what is the case management solution strategy. What we mean there in the case management solution strategy is, again, leveraging what we've got. How do we, in fact, use perhaps CCMS? Are there other options that can be done? And then using those to come up with a strategy because courts will need a case management solution. We estimate that this analysis, so for the roadmap and vision, is about $782,000. What that money represents, of course, is the staff and resources to actually look and support what we'd be working with the IT working group to try and develop that roadmap.
Renee?
Yeah.
Have we looked into or is there any risk that there'd be any agency such as Deloitte that would prevent us from being able to look into using what we have of the system that we've developed?
Judge, we're going to talk about that actually in leveraging CCMS technology. This is really because the branch has for the past 10 years since the council implemented its strategic plan for court technology, worked off the premise that there would be a single case management system for the branch. Without that, the entire vision for technology for the branch needs to be re-examined, and this is the effort to do that.
Kim, may I ask another question? It's a variant of Justice Baxter's question. This vision and roadmap, if one were to pause option two, in other words, select option two, why couldn't this activity of technology, the vision and the roadmap be developed during the pause? So in other words, you would have a possible option of terminating after the pause or embracing some leverage benefit that you're offering here as a third option.
Judge, that is one of the gradations between these options. So you could take bits and pieces of these three options and combine them in various a number of different ways. That's one way of looking at it. Again, it has the risk that Judge Herman mentioned earlier, you know, putting this decision off during that pause period, the application continues to become more obsolete than it would be if we moved forward, but it also there's a cost associated. So the objective of the pause is to save or defer cost for the two upcoming budget years to the maximum extent. That means shutting everything down. If we were to do this analysis and try to keep CCMS, you know, alive during that process, you would not be able to defer all of the money that we discuss in option two. That's the key difference between your suggestion and option two.
Justice Baxter.
Well, it's too bad we don't have a crystal ball we can look into to predict whether things will be as dire next year as they are this year. But even with option two, as I see it, a year from now, if things are worse than they are today, I think we'd have to revisit the decision to deploy. Isn't that right? In other words, that's inherent in that option too, that the intent would be to deploy after the pause, but you can't put it on automatic pilot. Would have to look at the circumstances at that time, the economy, the revenue that we could anticipate. So it's not as though, I mean, I don't see option two as putting us in a position where today we would decide what's going to happen after the pause occurs. Or Justice, am I missing something?
No, I think you're absolutely on track, Justice. And in fact, that same lack of ability to see into the future affects the council's thinking around option one as well. Anything where you're committing to moving forward, both option one and option two are suggesting a committed path forward beyond next year. And in both cases, the fiscal situation is unknown. And so in both cases, you would have another decision point as a council to decide, do we continue expenditures? But you'd be in different places. With the pause, you would have not expended anything. You would not have started on SLO and the other 10 courts. But in option one, you would have. So you'd be in different places, but you'd still have that same situation where the council would have to decide based on the fiscal reality at that time, you know, what it can afford to do.
And recall Kurt and Salatko's presentation earlier about the $125 million trigger that's looming out there, dependent upon what happens with the initiatives for tax increases.
Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Justice Baxter's question, of course, has weight, but we would also, it seems to me, be facing the possibility that if we paused for a year and revisited what's now option three a year from now, we may find that we can't afford to go forward then. We may find we can't go forward the following year. We may find we can't go forward the year after that. And correct me if I'm wrong, each of those year pauses would cost us additional money towards a system that may ultimately not be attainable for the branch. Is that fair enough?
That would be true, Justice. I think the other thing that we need to consider, at least we would do that during option three, is for courts that have failing systems, and even courts that don't have failing systems today, at some point they will need to replace their systems with some of this new technology. And you know, the longer you have this process where you are unable to move with any of those alternatives, the longer the courts are stuck in a limbo situation where they can't realize the benefits from electronic filing or document management systems or e-access.
Judge Kaufman?
Justice Hull basically asked my question, but the longer we delay, the longer courts are in limbo. They don't know what to do. For instance, if I want to replace my case management system, if we delay a year and we visit and we start to implement, it was still another year after that probably before you can even do anything. Is that correct? So a one-year pause is not a one-year pause. It's a much longer pause. Mm-hmm. It's a two-year pause probably, number one. Number two is we're still spending money. Just from a economic or a fiscal standpoint, if we do option three, there is a we save money. We stop spending money. I guess that's the best way, as opposed to the other two options. Is that correct?
Well, with option two, you also stop, Judge. Everything stops. We wrap everything up. Mm-hmm. With option two, the branch is faced with additional cost to ramp up again. Right. That's the difference.
And how much is that?
$21 million.
Mark, but isn't there another added cost to option two, and that is for the courts that are in need of a critical system? They can't wait for that one-year pause, and therefore they will have to, or somebody will have to, expend money to deploy an interim system in those courts. So those are added costs as well that aren't included here anymore.
That's true, Jody. And, in fact, I would guess that if Grant Thornton were to redo their cost-benefit analysis for all 58 courts, taking into account longer and longer pauses as courts had to begin to replace things, the overall cost to the branch would go up.
Right. Alan Carlson?
Following up on both Justice Baxter's and Judge Kaufman's, option two has us just, in a sense, standing around and waiting, it seems to be, whereas option three, at least while you're not doing V4, you're looking at other options. And it seems to me, I mean, I don't need a crystal ball. We're in a lot of trouble for two or three more years, fiscally. Pausing 1 year means we're going to pause again, we're going to pause again. I just don't see that being viable. I think now's the time, and one of the pieces of the third option is to look at what else can be done out there in the meantime, because we're not going to be able to afford what's in one or even two put off a year. We've got courts that need new systems. We got to look at something in the next year that allows them to figure out where they can go, waiting or not waiting. Two to me seems the least rational, Fritz, given the fiscal situation we're likely to face?
I just wanted to finish up on that, because it seems to me that, two, the decision is not likely to be this body's. The decision, if we take that route, the decision, we've made a convenient political decision for others who control the purse to say, no, we're not giving you that to start back up again. And it just cries out for that. If there's trouble next year, we've already got a part of an answer for you. We aren't going that route. Then finally, the thing with option three is I just hope we don't lose sight of a single system vision. That's all I have to say.
Judge Rosenberg and Judge O'Malley.
Thank you. This just reminded me of a discussion that has been going on for a few years about drug courts, where we talk to the legislature every year about putting in some more money for drug courts, and we show them the studies, every study which shows that you spend a dollar today and you'll save $2 or $3 in the out years, innumerable studies along those lines. But the legislature is not of a mind to spend the dollar today because there are too many competing demands and not enough dollars. They know that they'll save money in the out years, but they are not in a position to spend the money now.
Judge O'Malley?
So my question is, other than San Luis Obispo, do we know how many other courts really are so critical within the next year or two? I mean, are there any other courts that couldn't live for another 3 or 4 years, or do we have any idea of the number of courts who would be put in a bind within the next year? Because honestly, with the budgets that we're faced with, I can't imagine many courts, if they don't have to, spending money on a new system right now, because they're just trying to live by the skin of our teeth. So honestly, are there courts out there that are needing to collapse, that need a system within the next year?
So the ones, Judge O'Malley, the ones that are in that critical shape are already doing something other than CCMS. With the exception of the courts that Grant Thornton, out of the 10, that had that checkbox that said they had a near-term critical need. Those are the only ones that we're aware of at this time.
There is one more that is in critical need. It's King's.
Kings.
Okay, so one more. But all the others have moved on, and they're doing their own thing already within their own means.
Except this list has Fresno, Mendocino,
right.
San Diego, and San
Luis. There are people that were part of this study, but I don't know if they need a system immediately. They wanted to be part of this study, but...
So, Renee, if you would continue, and as questions arise, we'll take them.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. The final piece of this roadmap, what we included here is that, of course, the $783,000 to go ahead and get work and provide a roadmap for this vision. And then also, how do we work? We've combined this with the governance structure that was one of the activities that could be completed during option three, and that is $194,000 for that, which really covers the base staff to try and do the analysis on the governance structure with the different parties. So let's talk about leveraging technology. First of all, one of the things that I've talked about is, of course, preserving the investment, which is really our asset. I'm not certain, Judge O'Malley, if to some degree you did ask about Deloitte. We own the code. That is something we own, so the ability for us to do things with it. We own that code.
And they would not be able to interfere, do you think, in any aspect with us being able to reconfigure or use this however we could afford to do so?
So that's absolutely true as far as using it within the branch and with public sector entities. Mm-hmm. There is vendor works, things that are proprietary to Deloitte that may or may not have been included in CCMS, and to the extent that they are, we would need to work with Deloitte if we were going to commercialize the product.
Thank you.
In this activity, we also would look to actually reallocate where that technology and the components that are put together. Again, it's those four components that I spoke of earlier. An example could be, again, the document management system within CCMS, how does the statewide data reporting warehouse perhaps help with reports. Things like that could be, in fact, reallocated, as well as examine and analyze the options for modular deployment. One of the things that I've heard in several of the meetings are the court's needs that maybe they're failing in their civil, but they're okay in their criminal. So this would look at how do we best serve that piece, or perhaps even smaller than just those large components of criminal versus civil. Maybe it's just the family law piece, things like that. As well as one of the things that goes in here is the options for licensing, whether or not we can license to other CMS vendors, whether we can license back to Deloitte, whether or not we can look at all, just looking at all of the options around licensing that may benefit the branch. We believe that it will take 6 months to perform this analysis, and there is a $3.4 million tag to complete this work. And the reason that it is so high is that partially this is about us understanding and getting knowledge transfer from Deloitte. We own that code, but they are the ones that developed it, and so we would, in fact, have to have specialized resources to be able to transfer that knowledge over to us. That is certainly a large part of this cost. In addition, leveraging our technology, and I briefly spoke about this, is how do we take advantage of the DMS or the document management system as well as electronic e-filing? There are pieces of CCMS that could very well help us with exchanges with other partners. That would be looking at all of the technology and trying to take advantage of it for the branch and the trial courts.
Excuse me, Renee. Judge Herman?
Renee, I would like to back up to the knowledge transfer piece, the $3.4 million piece, and maybe you could explain for us what we mean by knowledge transfer, whose knowledge it is, why we don't have that knowledge currently within staff, what the downsides are of not performing that knowledge transfer in terms of being able to do anything with CCMS or any of its components, peripherals, pieces, and chunks at some later time.
So let me try to address that, if
like
I may.
I said I'd
judge.
Ask that Mark kind of cover that territory.
So this is the biggest chunk of money for option three, and it is because it is looking at the actual code, looking at the application itself. So millions of lines of code, many, many different modules, all developed by someone other than us. And really the objective here is multiple angles in a very short period of time. As Renee said, looking at pieces of it, pulling out the portal, maybe using that for e-filing, pulling out the statewide data warehouse and replacing GBSIS with that so that there's consistent reporting. It may be taking all the code exactly as it is and giving it to a court and being able to have a standalone implementation that is not an enterprise solution. It may be adjusting it, taking the code, adjusting it so that it works on a smaller footprint for a small court or an extra small court. This is why this is so expensive, because it is looking at a very complex set of code. It is the actual bits and bytes that we'd be looking at. The knowledge transfer judge that Renee is talking about is really hiring a handful of Deloitte people to help us with this process over a six-month period. It does not envision providing court staff or AOC staff with the complete knowledge transfer that we would need to maintain the application should the application live on. Remember, this is terminate CCMS as we know today. So knowledge transfer in the sense that we used for V2 and V3 because they were developed by someone else and moved into the AOC for support would not occur.
Justice Baxter, did you have a question?
I think you answered part of my question, and that was whether existing AOC staff would be doing this work or whether Deloitte staff would be doing it. And so you've answered
It's a combination,
that.
Justice.
The concern I have is whether there's any salvage value, no matter how much you spend. And are you stating with confidence that there is a lot of salvage value here?
So at this point, I can't do that, Justice. The opportunity that the council would take by taking option three and investing the $8.7 million, 2.7 of which is to shut down the application, the remaining amount of money would be used for the analysis, and what we would attempt to do during that period of time, and it goes really through September for most of it, would be to provide a cost-benefit analysis for all the components that we think would have some value in leveraging and moving forward. We're trying to avoid the use of the salvage. I know what you're trying to get at, but that would come through this analysis, and the end product of the analysis would be a cost-benefit analysis on those pieces that we believed would be beneficial to move forward with. There would be cost associated with doing anything in salvaging CCMS. But, you know, from the 60,000-foot level, I've got to believe that as the branch has made such a large investment in this, that there are things that can be used. And even if it's not the code itself, the processes, the requirements, we know, for instance, that the requirements alone that were used to develop CCMS V4 can be leveraged for SLO. If we were to write a procurement document, an RFP, for instance, we would take the CCMS requirements, work with the court, pair those back, and use them in an RFP. Otherwise, we would have to spend time and money to redevelop a whole new set of requirements. So I do believe that there are things that will still provide value to the branch. It's a matter of quantifying them and putting them into packages that you can look at as a council and say, here's the cost and here's the benefit of doing those individual things and making decisions at that time.
Edith?
As everyone heard this morning, the bar's interest is not in seeing this splinter into 58 counties all doing their own thing, none of which provides the service to our clients and to the public that we have if there is document management, electronic filing, et cetera. I just asked my secretary out of curiosity how much it cost me to file the last document I filed in San Francisco. The answer to the question is $88.88. One of the things that the information that we've received today does not take into account is the availability of user fees. And while I recognize there are issues on court fees, a increase to use an electronic filing in San Francisco up to anything less than $88.88 is actually a decrease in my costs. And that's one filing in one place. Does this option three include the concept of looking at what all the other options are out there from other vendors, other technology, other available case management systems, so that we can still look at whether it's possible to have the vision of a statewide system for at least some of these applications exist and have a comparison? Because none of these numbers is very meaningful unless you compare it to another number. So I think we now have an obligation to look at the technology that's been developed while we've been working on CCMS and see what can be combined from that or substituted from that and or supplemented with components or pieces of parts of what we've developed. Is that included in the theory of what we're doing on option three?
So, Ms. Mathai, I think it's specifically in this area of leveraging CCMS that we would look at that. And so I look at the first two slides that she's talked about as longer term. I mean, they really are things that we need to spend some time on. We're going to talk about some shorter term, and they may be more piecemeal, in all honesty. So looking at document management, looking at how we can use the portal to do e-filing today, it may mean not all courts can do it, but some courts that are able to may be able to leverage that portal to immediately or in a short-term period be able to do e-filing. This leveraging piece here is looking at the longer term, the point that you've brought up. Is there something at a statewide level that can still be done or not? I mean, it may be that there's not with CCMS, but I think some of the vision for the roadmap in the first slide is exactly to your question. Is there a need
for anything at a statewide level? And if so, what is it? And how would we overcome obstacles so that we could be successful in implementing those? I think that's really the roadmap and the vision part. This piece here, leveraging CCMS, is looking at what we've already done and what can we get out of it. I look at that as mostly being longer term because we're talking about perhaps re-architecting pieces of the application. And then we're going to talk about in a moment some of the shorter term or nearer term things that we could apply to the branch, like document management, e-filing, e-access to documents, and e-service. And so that's the way I look at it. I think there's opportunity here for input from the council and from the internal committee to steer the work that we would do under option three specifically. Remember, this would all be under the auspices of the internal committee. It would set that agenda specifically for us.
Kim Turner, then Alan.
Well, so Edith talked a little bit about what I wanted to say, and I want to also sort of piggyback on what Fritz Ulrich said earlier, which is that, you know, at the end of the day, whatever decision we make about V4, the part I think that's most, it's all of it's troubling, but the part that is really troubling to me is that the product that we tried to create would help the courts, but it would also help the public. It would open up access. It would help attorneys and other litigants that come into our system. It would create the kind of transparency that we all seek and are very invested in as a branch. And so the idea that that we can leverage the CCMS technology to create some of those statewide benefits, some of those. So I know that we have the portal and the integration backbone and all of the things that are out there that are sort of hook-ons to the core application. I would hope that this leveraging activity would take a look at those pieces, because those are the external pieces, the pieces that allow the public to access our services more effectively and efficiently. And I would hope that even if I have an old case management system, an old COBOL one, that there would be some way for me to be able to access e-filing and a public portal that would be able to read my data to create whatever that integration piece is to old systems and new systems. And if we can't all get to a modern case management system, at least we can make the front end look the same, whether you're looking at a case in Inyo County or L.A. County. You know, for the public and for lawyers, I think it's really important to make the technology look the same so that they don't have to scratch their heads every time they go into Marin's, you know, case management system and say, why does it look so different than San Francisco, which is right next door? So to the extent that we can take the architecture and, you know, kind of pull it all apart and see which pieces of it really, I think, provide that facade, which is such a public benefit so that our public stakeholders can really get to our data, I think that will be a true value, even if we don't go forward with the full product.
We're asking the question backwards. The point is, what you want is, what do we want on a statewide basis? We want e-filing. We want CCPOR. We want one link to Highway Patrol. We want one link to DMV. So we identify those things, and maybe in the first step they're talking about there is our vision. Those are the things we want on a statewide basis. We do not have to get those things only through an enterprise-wide system. That's just one solution, which would have worked if we'd done it. We, in fact, have e-filing right now without V4. And the system we're using, San Diego will be able to use by the summer or by the fall when they get the rest of their system ready. We're working with San Bernardino Riverside, who have a completely different case management system, will be able to use the same e-filing portal we're using. You can achieve these things without V4. But it may be that what we've got in V4 will allow us to do that. We're working on a system to get tickets from CHP. Electronically. So are four other courts. Santa Clara is one of them. And again, no V4. But we're building a portal or a way of doing it where CHP has one way of doing it. We give out our electronic tickets this way. And then the CMSs and the courts, whatever they are, take them in that manner and put them into their systems. So what we need to look at is, what do we want in our vision statewide? What needs to be statewide? And then let's look at V4 and see, what have we got in V4 that we built that we can use to achieve that end? it's not V4 everywhere. It can be a lot less sophisticated than that for now, and I think in our economic time. And I, you know, all the ones I listed, the e-filing, the CCPOR, the electronic citations, all that stuff we can do with 30 different, 70 different e-filing systems or case management systems in the courts if they write a piece that goes from their case management system to the portal from our side. All that's doable. And it may be that a bunch of that stuff's in V4 and we can use that. The execs and our CIOs, they're way ahead of us. They've already been looking at this. They say there are pieces in there we can use for exactly this purpose. So I think that's the way we should look at option three. I would get rid of the language about terminate V4. That sounds so final. Maybe it's political. I don't know.
So, Alan, you're confident that it is salvageable then?
Pieces, yeah. I couldn't tell you which ones right now.
Okay.
I'd love to know that maybe some of the modules are usable because we have people who could – we don't need a civil system or a criminal system in Orange. Our oldest system is family juvenile. We can keep it alive for 5 years if we had to. But if I could go reasonably cost-wise to a different, more modern system, we would look at that. And maybe V4 – we've offered for a couple of years now. We'll take just family juvenile out of V4. Other people, you know, Fresno needs a criminal system, no question. Maybe they need others too, but they clearly need a criminal system. And it may be the same way in other places. Let's look, and I think that's what I think option three ought to be about, is what can we take out of here that we can use?
My main concern is spending good money after bad to find out whether or not it is salvageable. But you're telling me that, in your view, based on your experience, it is salvageable.
I think with a small amount of money, I think these numbers are big, frankly, we could figure that out during the next year or during the next 6 or 8 months. Yeah.
Judge Moss and then Judge Herman.
Yeah, is the issue of salvaging, I think we should salvage. If we go with option three, we should try to salvage what components we have. But is that something we have to decide in the same breath that we decide to terminate V4? That is, couldn't the governing committee decide how we go about salvaging things and how much money should be spent soon, but not today?
That's right. That's part of options.
Just a thought on that. First of all, addressing what Alan is talking about, I think it's critical from this point on that our stakeholders, our courts, travel with us and that we receive input and direction from the trial courts, public attorneys, stakeholders of all sort. In other words, Alan, you asked it. You said, look, the question should be the reverse. So I think as part of this process, it's key that we have that involvement and that input, particularly from CIOs, because they really are feet on the ground in terms of knowing the technology, particularly with your court, San Diego, the other V3 courts and the V2 court, in terms of how vision can be reshaped with the technology and what pieces of the core code of V4 and the peripherals can be developed. So I think that dialogue is a key piece of dialogue. I think in terms of the answer about when do we have to make this decision, we're sort of driven by the budget process in terms of when the decision needs to be made. My understanding is that we, as a council, need fairly short term, probably today, to direct CCMS internal to hit the points that we've talked about in terms of leveraging, in terms of doing something for San Luis Obispo, in terms of looking at those courts that are in critical need and developing a policy regarding those courts. Because again, it's a budget issue. If we don't make an allocation fairly soon, then the budget moves on without this piece. Am I accurate in that?
I think that's important, Judge. But I also, this option is to terminate, Alan. So it is to stop everything. And if the council were to decide to delay this analysis phase, the folks that have the knowledge would be gone, because we need to terminate. We need to redirect staff. We need to lay off staff. We need to end contracts right now. And if the council decides to do that without this analysis phase, there would be no one, when the council decided to come back and do that analysis, that has that knowledge of the application and the project to be able to do it effectively.
Edith.
Yeah, I just think we may be, there's a little bit of a semantic problem in here. There isn't a lot of doubt that in light of the current fiscal situation, we're not in a position to have what I believe would be the best solution, which is CCMS throughout the state of California. Okay, I've accepted the fact I can't have that. I get it. Okay? Don't like it, but I get it. So we have to, I think there's a sense that that direction has concluded in its original vision. Not that the vision was necessarily wrong, but we simply cannot do it. So we are, there's a cessation of that approach to this. But it doesn't mean it's terminated in the sense that it goes away never to be seen again in any shape or form. It means that we go back to the drawing board, take a look at what we've developed and what we've got, and see how it can be revamped and reused with or without other options that are available out there, and then go forward.
Yeah. So I agree totally with you. I mean, in essence, when we say terminate, it has like some issue of finality beyond, in some sense, what we really mean. It really means, I think, stop the funding on V4, and then let's start with this new approach.
Wait a minute. Let's have Judge Rosenberg first.
This Judicial Council will never be as knowledgeable about this subject as we are today. We've ingested and digested a lot of information. The public, the legislature, our fellow judges, our judicial employees, our justice partners are looking to the council to make a decision. I think today is the day to make that decision. I'm hopeful that we can wrap up this excellent staff report so we can get about the task of discussion and decision-making.
Yes, Judge So.
So it's stopping the deployment of the original vision of V4.
That's what
option three is, correct?
That's right.
Yes.
But it's, Chief, it's allowing courts to mix and match. And if we spend some money to sort of look at what can come out of it, we're letting people mix and match. So we're deploying in a different way, even though I know in a sense we're terminating.
Yes,
that's at least how I'm thinking of it.
But it comes with the vision and roadmap, so people are not mixing, courts are not mixing and matching to the detriment of a statewide uniformity for the public access, including the lawyers.
Right.
Justice Hall.
No, I reconsidered.
Yeah. Okay. Can we finish? Oh. Yes. David Jones.
Let me just offer this. Alan just made some comments about some of the opportunities that many of the courts have taken to incorporate different aspects of technology, including DMS, e-filing. Those are two components that we're going to be bringing into our court without CCMS, because the technology is there to allow courts that opportunity. $3.4 million is a lot of money in my eyes, and I think in most eyes. And I think before we commit any money to this project, I think there needs to be a full analysis of the options that exist. So I know that 6 months is the amount of time that was identified, but I think we can come back with various options for us to consider before we make a commitment of $3.4 million or $576,000. I think there's a lot of information that would be helpful for this body to make decisions about moving forward.
Chief, Judge O'Malley.
The $3.4 million, in my understanding, is to transfer the knowledge.
It's partially hiring Deloitte folks
right.
to help us, but really it is AOC staff to do this work. Because, again, the way I look at this, and I know we're trying to, like, massage the word terminate, but the only way we can stop funding for V4 is to lay off all the AOC folks, turn off all of the contracts supporting the existing V4 application, and to be able to do this analysis would then cost you some money. We're saying it's the expertise and resource is there now, and you can choose to do that now, or if you want to do this analysis, either the courts themselves do this, again, without knowledge of the code, because the only people that really have knowledge of the code right now is Deloitte, or do that, you know, at some future point, there would be, I would think, and I appreciate Mr. Yamasaki's point that it seems expensive and that, you know, in a shorter period of time, we can come up with alternatives. And I'm hard-pressed to figure out how we would do that without staff.
So the 3.4 is to preserve
staff.
Staff and
bring Deloitte folks back.
What we know about what we have in V4.
That's correct.
If we don't spend this money, we won't know what we have to be able to leverage for V4.
So wait, let's go. And Justice Hull.
Can
and
we?
Judge Kaufman.
Thank you, Chief. I'm just wondering if we as a body, for the balance of our discussions this afternoon, can agree that we use the word terminate as shorthand for discontinuing funding of V4 at this point forward. Is that not correct?
Not discontinuing funding of V4, because the confusion there is that we're looking at options about what we can do with components of V4, but it's really that we are stopping the deployment of V4 as a statewide enterprise system and then moving to looking at other options.
That's what I had hoped to say, and I didn't. I agree with Judge Herman 100%. That's what terminate means as of today.
Okay. Well, now that that's clear, Judge Kaufman and then Kurt Soderlund.
Two things. First of all, as Judge So said, all we're doing today is we have a vision. The vision is sound. Edith is right, okay? We have a product. It's viable. It works. It really does work. It works well. The next question is, what do we do with it? And can we afford to deploy it? That's all we're doing today. The next question is the $3.3 million. David, I understand what you're saying. The problem I face is that if we don't allocate the money today, we may not have the money tomorrow. I think we have to face that issue and maybe not spend it. Maybe the compromise is that we have to allocate money that is available, and then the internal or somebody comes back and says, okay, this is what it really is. But if we don't make a commitment to go down this path, we may not have that money at a later date, is my understanding of the budget process, and I defer to Jody on that, okay? But I'm not sure you're right or you're wrong. I'm just saying we have to make a commitment that we're going this direction.
Alan Carlson.
I think I agree with you, except I would use the terminology different. I don't think we have to allocate money today. I think what we have to do is to say, here's what we want to do in 12-13, and ask the staff to come back, because we're meeting in less than a month, I think, and say, here's how much money that would cost to do that. But I think it's our job to say what we want to do, and then we allocate the money. We're not even close to knowing how much money we got for the next fiscal year. I mean, we could be off by hundreds of millions of dollars at this point because we don't have any revise, we don't have a budget. But we can identify what we would like to do, the council, in terms of, and I agree, it's not terminate. That word just rings all kinds of bells that we don't mean to ring. I think the point is, let's figure out what we want to do with what we've got, and then let's can come back and say how much money that is between now and July 1st.
Let's hear the rest of the report that has these costs.
There you go.
I mean, when I read it over the weekend, page 23 lays out these costs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go through them, because I think we might be saying up to this amount.
Exactly.
But I understand the constraints for the budget, and I understand we're making a decision here then to come back in a month and continue this. Yeah. I'd like to sort of hear the rest of the report, go through those, tell us what the cumulative amount is, and then maybe we can talk about that.
Okay. Welcome back.
We digress.
Tangentially, I go there all the time, so I get it. What I've been asked, actually, is to go to the analysis summary. There were a couple of other activities, but I think it's actually important if I cover what this summary says so that we can understand what is being examined. What you see here is how the money is displayed for each of those activities. The 2.7, we've talked about that is really doing all of those activities, what we call terminate, and what we've agreed here, what that actually means. And so that is 2.7 million. To do the analysis on the other pieces, which you'll see as the roadmap, leveraging the technology, going ahead and leveraging the technology for DMS, e-filing, e-access, and e-delivery, as well as making certain that we do have a branch structure for technology, how we're going to go ahead and analyze for the San Luis Obispo Court, that actually that amount there, what that represents is us helping them to look for alternative solutions, solutions like Tyler, solutions like Sustain. And it actually, this is one of the areas where you actually get something. This option provides you with, we would need to go out to RFP and assist the court to go out to RFP to select another vendor. So it's actually a 10-month effort, but that's why the price is there. All of that work then goes into the courts with critical needs so that we have a process or an analysis of what that's going to look like. So the total here does come out to be 8.6. What this means, and I think this is getting to what Judge Kaufman was trying to state, this is the money that would be committed if you want to actually do the analysis for all of these things, and whether it is encumbered or whether it is spent, this is how our analysis to try and say, how long would it take, how many months, how many people, and those were the calculations around that to come up with the $8.6 million.
So the last two bullets give you a deliverable, if you will.
Correct.
And that's $1 million.
The last page of the slide is simply the timeline around these activities, and those activities really are just trying to illustrate that we can run some in parallel, some in staggered, so that we can take advantage of both our AOC resources, and so some will end up being serial, but if we can stagger and make efficiencies, then we do that. That's what the timeline is. And finally, I think that what we didn't state is that if the finance division went ahead and they actually predicted or projected that $55 million would be for V4 activities in the 12-13 fiscal year, if you take out that 8.6 that would need to be spent, it provides back to the branch a $46 million projection for other priorities.
Does that $46 million include the $16 million from Deloitte for the delay?
It does not.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So those are the three options. I appreciate the opportunity to actually present them. Hopefully they're at least clear in their definition, and then we can participate in a dialogue.
Thank you. For purposes of our discussion, Renee, could you go back to the slide before this so we have that one up? The list
the
of the seven.
That one right there, thank certainly.
So thank you. Thank you very much. Very helpful. Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Thank you, Renee.
Jim Turner.
So Renee, am I right? So terminate V4, the top line, $2.7 million. We have to spend that regardless. I mean, that one is if this was a selection of things that we could choose to do or not do, we have to do that one in any event. So what we're really talking about is the difference between 2.7 and 8.6. So 5.9 are the options that are actually within our discretion to say yes.
You correct. Have to spend SLO.
Pardon me?
You have to spend SLO.
You're right. So we're really talking about somewhere around $5 million of additional cost in here that's within our discretion to make a thumbs up, thumbs down kind of decision
right.
on.
Correct. The 2.7 is money that needs to be spent, and that applies for option 3 as well as if you chose option 2, that would be money that would have to, in fact, be spent.
Are you able to speak to at all the assumptions behind some of the numbers here? For example, the leveraging CCMS technology. I realize that that talks about knowledge transfer, and Deloitte has, since they built it, they have the information. We need to know that. Can you give us some more assumptions about these numbers?
Yeah, and I'll try and work actually towards the middle, so to speak. As previously stated, if we're not doing option one, then basically, for option 3, terminate by whatever definition that is of V4, that is fait accompli under any set of circumstances. On the technology vision and roadmap, part of that also has to deal with, for any technology project at this kind of a juncture, or the same was for Phoenix. There was a certain amount of investment that had to go into where did we want to go with Phoenix, how are we going to get there. So it's a detailed set of plans that has to be prepared to, for all intents and purposes, using my Phoenix background, we basically come up with a Gantt chart, a very detailed schedule of the level of activities, and Mark can jump in here at any time, so that we know as we move forward that we do our best to make sure stones aren't left unturned. So it's due diligence is really what goes into the $782,000. You want to add to that?
So actually, the attachments to the report, the report number one, go through each of the activities, one through seven, and so there are seven attachments related to this. Eight attachments. Attachment eight in your binder, page 37. Talks about leveraging CCMS technology, which is the biggest dollar value here. And, you know, as Renee pointed out, with the limited amount of time we had to prepare this report, we tried to break this down into what we were trying to accomplish during the time period, how long it would take us, the types of resources we would need to do the analysis, and how many of those resources would be required. So if you look at the chart, on page 39, it breaks down that $3.389 million, and you'll see the first item is $137,000 for Deloitte consulting resources, and this is essentially the knowledge transfer because we're not really transferring knowledge; we're using Deloitte people under contract to do this, along with the $576,000, and these are existing AOC consultants which are providing the architectural knowledge of the application. We would continue paying their contracts for this period of time under this particular activity. We assume that there will be travel and that there may be travel for the trail court folks to help us with this particular analysis. That was the $63,000. And then the remaining is baseline staff, all 9.2 positions for 9 months and 17 positions for 10 months. And that's a combination of the folks in the PMO, which have functional knowledge and court knowledge of the program, as well as the folks in ISD that have the technical knowledge of the application and how it can be applied to the issues.
And let me add two real-world examples. One's CCMS, one's Phoenix in terms of knowledge transfer issues. When Phoenix was in its heyday, and this is, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we probably had about 15 or 16 consultants performing maintenance and operations work. Over time, as staff acquired more and more knowledge from our EPIUS vendor, there became a less and less reliance upon the system integrator to perform this kind of work. And so obviously you end up with a less costly solution. The very same thing has happened in the V2 and V3 maintenance and operations activities, whereby rather than rely upon the Deloitte consultants, we have our own consultants at this point in time, and it's coming in at a cost of around $4 million a year, less expensive, if you will. So that's some of the value of knowledge transfer.
So on page 38 of the report, it lists the areas within the AOC and the types of activities that would be occurring in each, and then moving to page 39, you see that translated into cost based on the number of resources and the time frame. I mean, that's how all of these were done, and each one of these activities has one of these charts as an attachment to your report.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kurt. Any questions? Judge Herman?
Chief, just to sort of put a focus maybe on where we go forward from this in terms of our discussion, I'd like to propose a motion to the council, and in order to sort of follow along, because it's going to have three parts, it's going to have a part about stopping the deployment of CCMS V4, and then the parts in terms of direction to the internal committee to come back with recommendations and a timeline to the council, which sort of follows along the bullet points on the option three that's currently on the PowerPoint. And then finally, asking the council to allocate up to 8.7, and I stress up to 8.7 because I think some refinement needs to be done on the costs in order to support bringing the recommendations back to the council. So if you go to page 14 of the report, the bullet points are more fleshed out. So I would move first that we stop, and I'm willing for a friendly amendment as to language, but stop The deployment of V4 as a statewide technology solution. Second, I would further move that the council direct the internal committee in partnership with the trial courts to develop timelines and recommendations to the council for A, establishing an approach and vision for implementing technology that serves the trial courts, litigants, attorneys, justice systems partners, and the public, while considering available resources and technology needs. B, leveraging the V4 technology and developed software to benefit ongoing judicial branch technology solutions. And, of course, the subparts to that would be what we've talked about in terms of licensing, in terms of deploying code to trial courts who want the code, et cetera. The next bullet point would be providing technology solutions in the near term to improve efficiencies in court operations by maximizing the value of document management systems, e-filing capabilities, and e-delivery services for the benefit of litigants, attorneys, justice partners, and the public. Next point, establishing a judicial branch court technology governance structure that would best serve the implementation of technology solutions otherwise included in the recommendations, developing alternatives for the V4 early adopter court, San Luis Obispo, to meet its current case management system needs. And I just would say that I know Jody and staff are all over this already. There's already been demonstrations by two vendors provided to the San Luis Obispo court, and this court has hung out with us for over 4 years and is in jeopardy of breaching trust with its justice partners. And finally, developing strategies to assist trial courts with existing critical case management system needs. I would further move, as part three, that the council authorize allocation for next fiscal of up to $8.7 million to accomplish these goals.
I'll second that.
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Let me first get the seconds were Judge Miller, Judge Hoffman, Ethan Fye, and then there's a substitute motion, Judge Rosenberg.
Yeah, I'll make a substitute motion, then I'll tell you why. My substitute motion is as follows. I would move the option three with the following three caveats, call them asterisks, if you will. Number one, that each court should have the option to choose its own case management system, which would serve the court, the public, the users, and, of course, the court. Number two, that the Judicial Council and the AOC work with presiding judges and CEOs and CIOs collaboratively to develop statewide minimum and uniform standards, such as e-filing, the ability to review documents online, et cetera. And number three, that we don't spend a penny yet until the appropriate Judicial Council committee and staff come back to the council with specific recommendations now that we've given them this policy direction. And I'll tell you why I'm making this motion. I'm only an advisory member of the Judicial Council. I've only been here for 6 months. I can't vote. But I do try to speak my mind, and I can make motions. I represent the PJ Advisory Committee, and I do speak, I believe, the opinions of many presiding judges and many trial judges. I believe that 10 years ago, the vision of a single statewide interconnected case management system was a very far-sighted vision, but the vision of one statewide interconnected system is just not feasible in the current climate, and in the foreseeable future. It's just too expensive. The legislature and the governor are not going to give us a check or a series of checks for $5 or $6 billion for a single case management system. And, of course, we all know that the need is now to keep our courtrooms open. So I'm a realist. I think the new vision is to allow the courts, all 58 trial courts, to develop their own case management systems, whether they choose an existing product, and there are existing products,
or they choose a CCMS component. Frankly, I believe the current on-the-shelf products are considerably cheaper than whatever we can produce through CCMS, but I'm willing to give the courts those options. And I do believe that if we develop statewide minimum and uniform standards, that the ultimate vision of an interconnected system, a system which would allow Ms. Matai and other practitioners and users to do things like e-filing, which are needed, I think it can happen if we develop those standards. So that's my substitute motion.
Second.
Judge Wesley seconds. I have a question on that substitute motion.
Yes.
And that is, it seems to me that the three matters that you discussed fall under bullet number two on page 14 of option three, which is establishing an approach and vision. I don't understand why it needs to be a separate substitute motion, because I'm not sure that it supersedes entirely the purpose of option number three, but I certainly see and have no quarrel with it as something that should be part of the original motion, and under number two, establishing an approach and vision. All of those seem to fall under that. That's my first point.
There are overlaps, no question about it, but the substitute motion emphasizes, for example, that each court would have the ability to choose its own option for case management.
So my clarification is that before there's any discussion by counsel or others as to that issue? So you're making that motion because it seems to me that would be part of the approach and vision. That would be a matter for discussion, heavily favored in the discussion, but still nevertheless. But you're saying that under this substitute motion, it wouldn't even be a subject matter for discussion. It would just be a policy out the gate right now?
That each court would be able to choose? Yes. I think we need to make that decision for many reasons. One, courts are in need of choosing a system. CCMS has dominated the scene in California for many years. Alternative systems have not developed fully in California because of that monopoly. We need to allow these alternative systems to be, we're based on competition. Allow the competition, allow individual courts to choose, give them the ability. We've kind of frozen everyone in place while waiting for CCMS. We need to unfreeze them.
Before I ask Angela her position, I have another question about that substitute motion. For clarification, when you say no money to be spent until judicial counsel and others return for further information, to be spent is one thing, to appropriate is another, to allocate is another. Are you saying that this substitute motion would not at this time address the up to $8.6 million that is part of the original motion to be allocated?
I don't mind making a decision to allocate. I don't want to spend any money until we have our arms around what is truly being recommended.
Which is the refinement that I understood was part of this motion, original motion.
Okay, well, we're in sync there.
Right. Wait a minute. So there might be more discussion. Angela Davis.
I have similar questions about the substitute motion, and just as a matter of a question rather than a concern, isn't it the case that if we go with option three, the trial courts can, of course, pursue their own systems? And in fact, I think we heard today that some courts, those that are in the most desperate straits with regard to technology, are already doing it, even under the time period in which we were full force pursuing CCMS. And so, I mean, that's just a question. I mean, I don't know that it's necessary to articulate that the courts can pursue their own systems when it's a reality that they can and they're already doing it.
If I can respond to that, I don't believe in mincing my words. If, in fact, we are terminating V4, I think we should say it. If, in fact, we are giving all trial courts the ability to get their own systems, whether it be a component of CCMS or an existing system like Sustain or any other existing system, we should say it.
Several things. First, Justice Hall.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. I'd call a question on Judge Rosenberg's motion.
So further discussion.
If that's a motion, if you're moving the previous question, it requires a second, and there's no debate,
It has to be voted on and requires a two-thirds affirmative vote stop
second.
Debate.
Second. Okay. Judge O'Malley seconds Justice Hull's motion to have the substitute motion voted upon now.
Yes. The motion ends debate if it passes.
Thank you. So at this time, it ends debate. And
if the motion passes that he just made, that ends debate.
So we are voting on
You're voting on ending debate.
Okay, all in favor of ending debate on the substitute motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Nay.
Two nays.
Two, okay.
So it appears that the substitute motion discussion has ended. So now
we do the motion.
Now we take up the vote on the substitute motion. Debate is ended. All in favor of the substitute motion, say aye.
Aye.
I can't
vote.
You're
not voting. I understand. Okay. So all opposed?
Aye.
Nay.
Yes, we're opposed.
Yes, we're opposed.
Sorry, double negative.
I'm sorry, it was my fault. Substitute motion fails.
Okay.
So the original motion is still back on discussion. Any further discussion on
yes, Chief.
Yes, okay. Judge Rubin and then Judge Hull.
Madam Chief, if I could make a statement on behalf of CJA.
Please.
CJA's first priority, and we heard the Chief say something similar to this morning, is to ensure that the public has full-time access to our courts by keeping our courtrooms open and adequately staffed. The budget forecast this year is bleak, and even that may be optimistic. We've already heard this morning from Mr. Child and others about the $650 million cut, and obviously we're looking at another $125 million perhaps being cut from the branch later this year. Courts around the state have prepared for the worst, and that yet may not be good enough. CJA's position with respect to CCMS deployment takes into account whether the deployment of V4 will adversely impact our branch priorities. Even taking into account the front-loading of costs for deployment to the first 11 courts, the cost to do so is staggering. Under these circumstances, we at CJA do not believe the Council can push forward on CCMS as a branch-wide technology solution, and we back option 3. With our 2,500 members, CJA recognizes that different courts have different needs when it comes to ongoing technology solutions, including those involving various versions and parts of CCMS, or V4. This council needs to work with those courts like San Luis Obispo and others who now suffer from antiquated technology systems and who find themselves in the lurch. And this we have to do within the limits of our very austere budget. Judges understand that what appears or feels like to us the downsizing of our branch from budget cuts at technology helps us leverage our dwindling resources. We want to be as efficient as possible so that we can continue to answer the call of California's citizens. Technology is one of the keys that will keep our courtrooms open and fully functioning. Now, there are many approaches out there that should be explored, and we've heard several of them today. CJA believes that even as the Council considers these options, we must continue looking forward, continue looking to the future. And part of looking to the future is if it's economically feasible, and I guess that's part of the discussion we're having now, is to leverage the technology, or as we've been calling it, parts for parts, out of CCMS. We should also, I think, consider tasking the PJ committee to work with the new technology committees that are being contemplated under option 3 with, and we agree with Dave Rosenberg on this, with establishing a common set of case management system requirements, letting each court purchase a system it feels best fits its needs while adhering to a common convention, allowing for the future that we've all envisioned, where our branch will have the enhanced communication between courts and to the public. This is only one of several options that must be explored, I think, or we think. In the end, we need to make sure our courts have the technology necessary to be responsive to litigants in a 21st century mobile society. We must become more efficient and effective. And the only acceptable means to accomplish this is one that is fiscally responsible and that does not sacrifice our mission to provide full and fair access to justice. Thank you, Madam Chief.
Thank you, Judge Rubin. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, Your Honor. As a member of the bar, I would say that listening to this, and I am probably the newest person to this topic, but I believe this, that the branch needs to become a one, again, united, without factions. That's what I'm picking up for my 6 months here. The bar and the bench, I think, needs a California statewide case management system. Now, there may be some modifications to that, depending on counties, whatever, but I do think that the bar would like a statewide case management system. CCMS is too expensive, given our economy, our legislature's opinion or position, and the public concerns about the branch spending right now. It makes sense to allocate up to the $8.7 million analyzed V4 and the salvageable parts of CCMS. It also makes sense to step up to protect the counties such as San Luis Obispo so that they have some sort of case management system as soon as possible. Part of the analysis should include vetting other vendors such as Tyler and Sustain and others possibly. I think the internal committee could explore various possibilities, including Judge Rosenberg's separate but connected concept. They should look at whether you can find a county such as Ventura or Orange County or someone that has been using V3 previously that have the IT staff that would be willing to go and take a look at all aspects, family, juvenile, civil, and criminal of V4. I don't know. I mean, that's the type of thing that this internal committee should evaluate. So I really think that you're making the right decision here today, and once again, I support option 3.
Thank you, Mark. Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. I've been a member of the council since January of 2011, just a little over a year. But when I joined a year ago, the criticisms, the controversy over CCMS was already at that time in full voice, and I believed at that time that it was my obligation to investigate as best I could into CCMS, learn about the program, learn about the plan, and give the matter, judge the matter in a fair and open-minded way. As I've learned of the details of the CCMS program in the past year, I have come to the conclusion that it was a visionary project, is a visionary project that, as we now know, one that we have and one that works. And frankly, those who say it does not work as of today are either woefully misinformed or intentionally deceitful to their own ends. I've spent the better part of the last year, as all of you have, working together with you and others to find a way that we financially can deploy CCMS, a product that, in my view, once deployed, would not only be the envy of every court system in the country, but more importantly, would be a tremendous boon to the people of California. We have not found a way. We have not found a way, given the fiscal crisis into which the state of California has found its way, and given the financial constraints that have been placed on the courts. And so we're now faced with three choices: continued deployment to some of the courts, pause in that deployment, or terminate, as we have defined it today, CCMS, and rethink and redesign a court case management system or systems that will allow our courts and justice partners to move forward as best they can. As the Chief earlier noted, whichever of these three options the Council approves today will receive criticism. If we go forward and spend the money necessary to a partial deployment, we'll be criticized. If we pause and still spend money for a case management system that may never be deployed, we will be criticized. And if we terminate CCMS, we will be criticized. But the certainty of criticism is ultimately of no consequence before us here today. As to our options, and I know we're about to vote on just one of them, I regret to say, as we've heard from others on the council, that I could not in good conscience favor option 1. The branch cannot afford option 1, given our need to prioritize the use of the vastly reduced funds that have been allowed us by the legislature. As to option 2, it has initial appeal for those of us, and I think it's most of us, who believe that the deployment of CCMS someday, as originally envisioned, would provide a daily benefit to the citizens of our state. Option two calls for a one-year pause, in reality a two-year pause, as we heard from Ms. Hatcher, after which we would begin deploying as in option one. But as I noted earlier during the presentation, I don't see any guarantee that we could go forward after a one-year pause or a two-year pause or maybe even a five-year pause. And in the meantime, we would be spending branch money on a system that may well end up being unattainable. As to option three, the motion that's before us now, it recognizes our current reality. CCMS was a worthy goal, but one that could not ultimately be achieved given the recession and the legislature's determinations as to how much money would be available to the judicial branch during the course of that recession. It's therefore appropriate, in my view, to rethink and redesign how we approach case management systems in our courts within the constraints of our financial wherewithal, and to do so with a parallel effort to find and realize all of the advantages that we can for our development of the CCMS program, and I speak in support of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Hull. Justice Ashman-Gerst.
As many of you know, I've been a number one advocate for the use of technology in the courts. I was one of the first judges to do real time with my court reporter. I was one of the first to have a computer on the bench and to advocate for the use of the Internet for research and communication by email to each other. Now, I taught the computer class to judges for many, many years. I chaired the CJUR Committee on Computer Education. I've chaired the technology committees for both the Los Angeles Superior Court and for the Second District Court of Appeal, and I've been on and off CTAC since its inception in 1994. So I still believe that technology is crucial to our future. But we have the reality of where we are today. I would just answer Justice Baxter's question, do we have to abandon everything completely? And I feel very strongly and suggest that we don't. I believe there are aspects of CCMS that can be utilized by others that have now entered the field, and I agree that we can be flexible. We don't have to be tied to a complete system, but we can break down what might be used and see if there are aspects of it that can be offered to other technologies now in the state and in the country. Perhaps in the future, and who knows, it might be closer than we think, there might be something like the cloud that would allow us to have disparate systems that could connect. I don't know, our technology moves so quickly these days. But right now, the trial courts just want to get their systems moving. And our users, the attorneys, their clients, are anxious for e-filing, e-access, and document management, and it's important that we strengthen our focus on those public benefits. We also have to focus on the local courts. And it is a possibility, David, that these massive projects potentially have hindered innovation. And I think that the trial courts should be allowed to be innovative. So I also urge the council to refer the matter back to the CCMS Internal Committee, pursue these other options, and then report back to the council.
Judge Hugh.
Chief, I agree with so much of what Justice Hull said, actually all of it. He said it so much more eloquently than I can, so I won't re-say it. I would just add that whatever we decide to do today, we are here really at the benefit of many, many people's work, their time, their energy, their hopes, their dreams. Some of those people in this room, many of them in this building, some of them who've retired. So whatever we do today, I hope we don't lose sight of the contributions that we will benefit from in our future, and that we can take a moment to think about all that we've done collectively, because that, I think, we deserve to pat ourselves on the back for. Whether we can afford this or not, it is a good product, and we did this.
Thank you. Any further comment or discussion before I call for the vote? I see someone pointing at you, David.
She's nudging me, so I have to speak. So I just wanted to take a moment to say that the product that we have today, V4, has been the culmination of a lot of hard work by a lot of people for a number of years. And today we have a product that has been developed and tested, and it can do what it was originally designed to do. But for the fact that the cost of this project is what it is, and because of the fact that we are facing these financial difficulties, the fate of V4 is going to be hinged upon those realities. But I don't want anybody, and I hope the people that have worked on that project for these years, I hope they come away having confidence that their work was, they delivered what they said, what they were tasked to do, and I want to personally thank them for their efforts in that regard.
Thank you. Thank you. Well said.
All in favor of the motion to adopt option three, as stated on the record by Judge Herman, seconded by Justice Miller and Edith Mathai, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Matter passes.
So could I just take a moment and second what said, and again, thank all of those who have put such amount of time and effort, Mark and Jessica and Renee and Les, and Justice Berniers put his heart and soul in this over the last year, did an excellent job getting us where we are, and you all should be commended for the work that you've done.
I'm going to stand in recess for our afternoon break until 3:10. Oh, I'm sorry, Fritz.
Chief, as the old timer here, Ralph Kleps was the director when I started in the courts. We have worked, and this branch has worked mightily. When I went to L.A. County, 24 separate municipal courts did not have an automated traffic records system. 24 separate courts came together and eventually developed that. That's almost half the number of counties. Granted, the scale is much different, but when you look at 100-judge Los Angeles Municipal Court and a 1-judge Santa Anita or Malibu Court, there were huge differences that had to be overcome. And we managed to come together and eventually do that. It wasn't easy. 15 or 20 years ago, I worked on a project called GIBSIS. That was a project designed to try to get all the courts in the state to agree on common elements for a statewide computer system. It was an unbelievable struggle to do that. We made some steps, and I think some of those things are part of what's been developed today. We have to keep going toward this single vision. We can't be going to the legislature asking for funding for this court system and this court system and choosing, as this body, choosing which one you're going to support when this resources become short. We have got to work toward a single vision. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means. Some feel that there are off-the-shelf products that can easily do this. I have never seen anything, including buying my Apple IIe, that was easily done in automation. So let's keep working on it, and let's keep that vision. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. 3:10, please.